It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios. Welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You're all right.
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
Tonight, as we honor our nation, please remain standing and welcome members of the ROTC units from Louisiana State University and Clemson University, joined by the President of the United States and the First Lady.
That's the way it sounded last night when President Donald Trump and his wife Melania entered the field, walked down the field at the Clemson Tiger, LSU Tiger game for the national championship in the Superdome. And just amazing. I just find myself being happy that he could hear that kind of encouragement, because heaven knows in Washington he's not getting any. So the president, that was a lot of sustained cheering. It was pretty amazing, very encouraging. At the same time, the actor Vince Vaughn, you've probably seen him in The Wedding Crashers. I'm not necessarily recommending his movies, by the way, because even though Vince is funny, he does some very naughty things. So don't misunderstand this as an endorsement of Vince Vaughn's movies. However, he is well known. He was in the box watching the game with President Trump, and they actually sat together, and some smart person was watching and actually took a video of it, about 30 seconds worth, a guy named Siraj Hashmi. And so he tweeted, "Ladies and gentlemen, I regret to inform—" No, I got the wrong person. No, he's not the one that actually alerted people. It was a guy in the media down there in—oh, it's called Bubba Prog, Timothy Burke. "I'm very sorry to have to share this video with you, all of it, every part of it." So Vince Vaughn now, the dust-up on Twitter is that he should be canceled. Now, you do know what that means, right? In this new woke regime, this new woke world we're living in, you can't tolerate any dissension. And if people have a different view, they must be punished, silenced, canceled. You have to go after them with a vengeance. And canceled means it's really horrendous, actually. It means like on social media, in terms of your work life, everything, just shunned, canceled. Everything about you, your finances, everything should be attacked. And that's what they're calling for Vince Vaughn. So not a very happy proposal. It's kind of like Ellen DeGeneres, you know, having a nice laugh with George W. Bush at a ball game. She got the same kind of dust up. It's just so irrational. And it shows you how really divided we are, just incredibly divided as a nation. I'm going to spend the opening of the show. There is so much news. I have to tell you, I would be honest with you. I'm raising my hand. Not that I wouldn't be honest with you, but boy, do I have a lot to cover these days. And I'm having, it's a challenge to get through it all. So I have a lot of things to say, but I want to start with this positive thing, because heaven knows that Washington is going crazy over the killing of Soleimani, and anything that they can find that will, you know, harm this president, that's what they report. So NBC, I'm just going to give you them as an example. I'll play some other clips later, but I just want to touch base on Iran, and then we're going to talk about Iran at greater length in another segment. But this was an NBC report about the killing of Soleimani. Let's listen, clip 11.
7 months. That's how long ago the strike against Qasem Soleimani was authorized, according to our exclusive NBC News reporting. Five current and former administration officials tell NBC the president gave the go-ahead to kill Soleimani if Iran's aggression led to the death of any American, provided the president got final sign-off first. Former Secretary of State John Kerry reacting today.
This is a shifting story, but so shifting that I think it's beginning to look like a cover-up over their original choices.
NBC's Carol Lee helped break the story.
The timing of the president's decision to authorize the killing of Soleimani could undermine his key justification for the operation, which is that Soleimani was planning imminent attacks against Americans and needed to be stopped.
The White House and National Security Council are not commenting, but President Trump late today is defending the intelligence as consistent.
It should have been done 20 years ago.
That's after he suggested attacks were looming on not just one, but multiple U.S. facilities.
I believe it would have been four embassies.
That's a specific claim, but the president's own defense secretary says he never saw a piece of evidence to back that up.
I didn't see one with regard to four embassies. What I'm saying is I share the president's view that probably my expectation was they were going to go after our embassies.
Now, Democrats are accusing the president of fudging the intelligence that led to the strike, arguing he's overstating just how imminent the threat really was.
The risk, I think, to our personnel has gone up, not down. And I don't think it was justified by the intelligence, at least not the intelligence that I've seen.
All right, that was NBC's take on it. I have other clips to play with you, play for you, but you get the gist of it. Now we have to second guess his order to take Soleimani down. Everything that he says, everything that Pompeo says. To be honest with you, I'm sick of this. I really am sick of this. We have a murderous regime in Iran that's guilty of, under the direction of Soleimani, killing so many Americans and taking the limbs, wounding for life so many of the others through the devices that they put on the roadside bombings. That was Iran. And I have a lot more to say about Soleimani, again, a little bit later, but it's just incredible. You know, Barack Obama took out Osama bin Laden, and he was a hero. He was a hero. President Trump took out someone who actually is now a present threat to this country and to the world, including South America, including his entree to the president of Mexico, which I'll get into again a little bit later. Dangerous, dangerous man. The president takes him out, orders him taken out. Also, the person that killed that night was the person that ordered the invasion, the attempted overtaking of our embassy that particular night in Baghdad. Would have slaughtered, would have captured, would have redone what they did in 1979 if they could have. He was taken out also. But the president, oh no, how does he know he can't do this? He doesn't have authorization. He didn't tell Congress. It's illegal. Soleimani was a hero. I'm sick of this because they are putting the whole world in danger by undermining him. Can you imagine the Iranians? You think they're not listening to our news media? You think they're not absorbing what's being said and, you know, coloring their response based on American media? Of course they are. I've never seen more blatant, really, treason in my life than we're seeing from media and from Democrats on the left. Honestly, I will outright call it that. This is unbelievable, inexcusable, and should be punished. But then it seems like we live in an age where justice just never seems to be done. I want to back off and go to something profound but kind of light. Recently, in fact, I was going to play this for you yesterday, but in 1980, does anyone remember the beautiful, what was she? She was like the Barbara Walters of her time, Rona Barrett. Used to do a lot of interviews, and she had some time with the very young Donald Trump. In 1980, I think he was 32, 34, something like that. And so Rona Barrett asks him, now remember, let me give you the timeline here. 1979 was when the Iranian hostage, the so-called Iranian crisis that you may have heard, the hostages were taken at the embassy. Our people, 52 of them, that's why the president keeps talking about 52 of those bombers headed for 52 objects of a strike in Iran if they didn't stand down, 52 held for almost a year and a half, 2 years. It was horrible, it was horrendous, and we let them get away with it. Jimmy Carter did nothing. So this interview is in 1980. This is the year after, well, the subsequent year after President Reagan has just taken office. Rona Barrett interviewing the very young Donald Trump. Let's listen.
You are a mover, you are a doer. If you could make America perfect, how would you do it?
Well, I think that America is a country that has tremendous, tremendous potential. I think that, much like the mind, I think that America is using very, very little of its potential. I feel that this country, with the proper leadership, can go on to become what it once was. And I hope, and certainly hope, that it does go on to be what it should be.
What should it be?
Well, it should really be a country that gets the respect of other countries.
Today, is respect the most important thing in your opinion?
Well, respect can lead to other things. When you get the respect of the other countries, then the other countries tend to do a little bit as you do, and you can create the right attitudes. The Iranian situation is a case in point. That they hold our hostages is just absolutely and totally ridiculous. That this country sits back and allows a country such as Iran to hold our hostages, to my way of thinking, is a horror. And I don't think they'd do it with other countries. I honestly don't think they'd do it with other countries.
Obviously, you're advocating that we should have gone in there with troops, etc., and brought our boys out.
I absolutely feel that, yes. I don't think there's any question, and there's no question in my mind. I think right now would be an oil-rich nation, and I believe that we should have done it, and I'm very disappointed that we didn't do it, and I don't think anybody would have held us in abeyance. I don't think anybody would have been angry with us, and we had every right to do it at the time. I think we've lost the opportunity.
That was President Trump in 1980, in his early 30s. And Rhoda Barrett goes on to ask him about if he would ever run for president. I'm going to go ahead and play that because I just think this is interesting. Let's listen. It's clip 15.
For some people, the ultimate goal in life has been becoming the president of the United States. Would you like to be the president of the United States?
I really don't believe I would, Rhoda, but I would like to see somebody as the president who could do the job. And there are very capable people in this country.
Most people who are capable are not running for office. Most men are frightened of politics today.
It is a shame, isn't it?
Yes.
It is a shame. The most capable people are not necessarily running for political office, and that is a very sad commentary on the country. They head major corporations, and they head this and that, but they are not running for political office.
Why wouldn't someone like yourself run for political office? You have all the money that you possibly need. You've accomplished a great deal, even though you are only 34. I know there's a lot of things that you possibly can do in the years ahead. Why wouldn't you dedicate yourself to public service?
Because I think it's a very mean life. I would love, and I would dedicate my life to this country, but I see it as being a mean life. And I also see it as somebody with strong views and somebody with the kind of views that are maybe a little bit unpopular, which may be right, but may be unpopular, wouldn't necessarily have a chance of getting elected against somebody with no great brain but a big smile. And that's a sad commentary for the political process.
Television, in a strange way, has ruined that process, hasn't it?
It's hurt the process very much. I mean, the Abraham Lincolns of the world. Abraham Lincoln would probably not be electable today because of television. He was not a handsome man, and he did not smile at all. He would not be considered to be a prime candidate for the presidency. And that's a shame, isn't it?
But if all the men are like you, then when are we going to get somebody who might be good?
I don't know. I hope it's around the corner, but I don't know. I really don't know. What I would like to be involved in is trying to help choose somebody or working with a group of people whereby they put up a candidate who would be acceptable to be a presidential, you know, to be the president. The country, if we had the one man, and it's really not that big a situation. You know, people say, well, what could anybody do as president? The one man could turn this country around. The one proper president could turn this country around. I firmly believe that.
If you lost your fortune today, what would you do tomorrow?
Maybe I'd run for president. I don't know.
All right, that was Donald Trump in 1980. Isn't that amazing? We'll put that clip on our Facebook page and you can watch it. And by the way, many, many, many conservative leaders signed this thank you, President Trump letter that was published today. It talks about all the things that he's done in regard to the economy, to the sanctity of human life, to religious freedoms. It's an amazing letter. We'll post it also on our Facebook page, and you can access both. All right. When we come back, we're going to talk about Iran because there's a lot to say. Stay tuned. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
That changed my life, just from that ultrasound picture.
When it comes to choice, the Ministry of Preborn offers the ultimate life-saving choice by providing a free ultrasound. When an abortion-minded woman sees her baby on ultrasound and hears the heartbeat, she's 80% more likely to choose life.
I'm going to keep my baby, and I'm going to keep growing, and I'm going to be a great mom.
Preborn is the largest provider of free ultrasounds in the country, and their mission is to help save babies' lives and souls through love and compassion and the message of Jesus Christ. To find out more, go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com. Or dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 and say baby. Your love can save a life.
The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Such comfort. And yet, can you imagine having never read those words for yourself? Hi, it's Michael Woolworth with Bible League International, and we've been engaging the world with God's Word for more than 80 years for $5 a Bible. You know, there are Christians in Asia, Africa, Europe, Latin America, and the Middle East who've never held a Bible in their own hands because of corrupt governments that oppress, majority religions that persecute, and other conditions related to living remotely and in extreme poverty. Some of these new believers, they memorize long stretches of Scripture, while others cherish the Word they heard preached on Sunday until they can gather again. They long for God's Word to hold in their hands and to cherish in their hearts as they grow in His grace and knowledge. Details on how you can be involved are at sendbiblesnow.com. That's sendbiblesnow.com or by calling Bible League at 800-YES-WORD, 800-YES-WORD.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next. Liberty University is preparing students to enter a competitive job market. They have a low student-to-professor ratio, a caring Christian faculty, and more than 550 programs of study, ranging from undergraduate certificates to doctoral degrees. As the largest Christian university in the world, Liberty continues to establish itself as both a leading liberal arts university and an institution dedicated to the Christian faith. Learn more at liberty.edu. That's liberty.edu. So I received a bit of disturbing news. Facebook notified me they have blocked us from posting any more stories on Starnes Faith. Now, Starnes Faith is a page that promotes stories about the great things God is doing around the world. Faith-friendly stories. No politics, no controversy, just good news. Facebook said my page violated their community standards. They said I shared fake news. It seems we had run afoul of outside fact-checkers, groups run by former employees of CNN and NPR, hardly fair arbiters of the truth. So where do we go from here? Well, our only alternative to Facebook is my weekly newsletter. It's a free service. We don't charge a penny. It's the only way to guarantee you get news about politics and the culture uncensored. And you can subscribe right now at toddstarnes.com. Facebook has a right to disagree with our opinions, but they don't have a right to censor our opinions. I'm Todd Starnes.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
Good morning. That's right. Today, Iran's justice chief made an announcement saying that multiple arrests have been made in the shooting down of that Ukrainian Airlines flight last week that killed all 176 people on board. The announcement coming today on Iranian state television, that chief adding that an extensive investigation has taken place, though no specific number was made in regards to how many people were arrested. Now, the Ukrainian Airlines flight was hit by Iran's missile defense system on the same night that Iran launched 16 ballistic missiles into Iraq. Overnight, Iranian President Hassan Rouhani called the event a, quote, unforgivable error, although the Iranian government first denied any involvement in the accident. Meanwhile, in Tehran, demonstrations against the government continued today for a fourth day. Protesters are upset with how the Iranian regime initially handled the plane incident. They're also upset with ongoing corruption in the country. Striking images showed people tearing up photos of Iranian General Qasem Soleimani, who was killed in that U.S. drone strike earlier this month outside of Baghdad's international airport. Many fires were were set across Tehran as police fired tear gas and guns. Security forces have denied open firing on the demonstrators. One X factor to consider in all of this is the support from President Trump. We've seen over the past week a number of tweets by the commander-in-chief in Persian speaking directly to those protesters in Tehran. It's unclear whether or not these warnings from President Trump are going to have any real-world consequences for the Iranian regime if they do indeed participate in violent acts against these protesters.
All right. That was, Trey Yanks this morning on Fox and Friends. And that's the update. The protests are continuing. And I don't know why Trey, my understanding is that they absolutely have been shooting at the protesters. And it was just in November when they killed 1,500 protesters on the streets protesting against the Ayatollah, the incredibly intense economic problems. I was just reading the details of that this morning. They barely make enough money to exist. Their water supply is terrible because the water is being so mismanaged. They can't get basic needs. The birth rate has dropped down to wartime levels because women don't want to get pregnant. This is Iran right now. This is Iran under the leadership of the Ayatollahs and Soleimani. And we find out also, whether I said this or not, I don't remember, but I need to say to you that we know now that those massive crowds coming out to show their grief, their sadness, that's what we were told by the news media, over the killing of Soleimani, came out in the streets because they were forced to. They were forced out into the streets, out of schools. They emptied up workplaces, and they were told that they would demonstrate on behalf of Soleimani. But that's not what we heard from the news. We heard almost immediately after his killing, we heard things like this. This is clip 9.
Qasem Soleimani was no ordinary general. In Iran, he was a national hero.
He was a war hero, the commander of Iran's feared Quds Force.
A revered figure in Iran.
It's difficult to convey how revered he is in Iran.
I was trying to think of somebody, and I was thinking of De Gaulle.
Princess Diana died, for example. There was a huge emotional outpouring. These kinds of Elvis Presley in our culture. It turns out that this general he killed was a beloved hero.
He's regarded as personally incredibly brave. The troops love him.
I have been in the midst of anti-American protests in Iran before, but nothing like this.
Thousands of mourners on the streets in Iran, weeping.
The crowds are massive and emotional. There are many tears here.
He is think of the French Foreign Legion, you know, if you will.
Smart, charismatic, ruthless, strategic, and bold. His power made Iranians proud.
Yeah, so they told us. I want to add to you some more information. I teased this earlier. This is an article by Mary Anastasia O'Grady about Soleimani's Latin American terror. Let me just read a part of her article here. She said, Cuba's military dictatorship quickly condemned the U.S. action. The dead general was also mourned by the drug trafficking terrorist group Revolutionary Armed Forces of Colombia. Members of the Venezuelan dictatorship and Iranian proxy networks in Brazil, Peru, Argentina, El Salvador, and Mexico. So Iran has been, we probably told you this, but it needs to be restated, that Iran has been building terrorist networks in Central and South America. And this report by Mary Anastasia O'Grady goes on to talk about, I'll read the last paragraph, a reliable intelligence source tells me that Iran has been getting closer to Mexico since President Lopez Obrador took office 13 months ago. That fits the Soleimani pattern and is something to worry about. The end of the terrorist mastermind is a message to those in the region who harbor his networks. And she talks about his involvement in developing all of that, how very dangerous for us that he should get a stronghold in Mexico just south of our border and then in this hemisphere, which is what he has been doing. All right, but not to be dissuaded. This really is ironic to me. Now, you just heard a montage of just some of how the media responded to Soleimani's death, what a statesman he was, a revered figure, on and on and on it goes. Ironically, just overnight in the last 24 hours, Iran state television sees at least two of its news anchors quit, saying things like, "Forgive me for the 13 years I told you lies." Then the Association of Iranian Journalists issued a statement, and this is what it says. We lie loudest when we lie to ourselves. And the Islamic Republic of Iran state television employees acknowledge that their credibility has been lost. unaware that the credibility of this media and most of the domestic media had long since vanished. It should be noted that other media outlets objected to the situation, but the Islamic Republic of Iran state television favored the ones that were not, that reported favorable things. This incident showed that people cannot trust official data, and journalists should try to fill this gap as much as possible. That happened in Iran. You know, it's the same but different. You know, this is what totalitarian regimes do. They need to control the media. They use it to propagandize and misinform. And that is exactly where we are. You all know that. It's just that your neighbors probably don't know it because they are undergoing a steady diet of propaganda. In fact, I'll give you an example. Stephen Colbert last night in his and this is where people get their news sometimes, The Daily Show or wherever, whatever his show is. This is clip 7.
In other international news, the Trump administration still hasn't settled on one legal justification for bombing Iranian General Qassem Soleimani. One official grasping at straws is Secretary of State and one-man barbershop quartet Mike Pompeo. The administration's official explanation is that the strike occurred to thwart an imminent attack. But on Thursday, Pompeo had trouble narrowing that down.
There is no doubt that there were a series of imminent attacks that were being plotted by Qassem Soleimani. We don't know precisely when, and we don't know precisely where, but it was real.
Hello, 911. Hello. Yes, I'm being robbed. I don't know precisely when, and I don't know precisely where, but I do have the address of a guy I want you to kill. This is real. Yo, hello. 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 Even Republicans were concerned about the vagueness of these justifications. So on Friday, the president went on the Fox News to clear things up.
Don't the American people have a right to know what specifically was targeted without revealing methods and sources?
Well, I don't think so, but we will tell you that probably it was going to be the embassy in Baghdad. I can reveal that I believe it would have been four embassies.
He believes it would have been four embassies. Do we really want to live in a country where we bomb people because of what Donald Trump believes? We're talking about a guy who believes that windmills cause cancer. So run for your lives, Holland. He's coming.
All right. So that's what some of your friends are watching. And that's why they are so completely ignorant about what's actually happening and the dangers we actually face. It's business as usual. Ha, 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 ha. Let's mock Donald Trump. You know, President Trump is right about all of this. And just to prove that point, I could read lots of different scholars, constitutional scholars and others, congressional scholars who know what the law actually says. But we'll go for the Attorney General, William Barr. He said yesterday that the president had consulted the Department of Justice before ordering an airstrike that killed Iran's top military general. Barr said that Soleimani was a legitimate military target and the strike was a legitimate act of self-defense. The Department of Justice was consulted, and frankly, I don't think it was a close call. I believe the president clearly had the authority to act as he did on numerous different bases. And we could talk more about that, but I just wanted to share with you that little tidbit so that, you know, you'd know that Stephen Colbert didn't get that one right. But you might have been watching The View. And if your friends are, because it's so popular, I don't know why people watch this. I can't understand this. This is foolish women who know nothing exchanging their virulent, hateful views and having some laughs in the process. And yeah, you can watch it and have some laughs, but you're filling your mind with really ridiculous, worthless information. And I guess I just think, isn't there a better way to spend your time? All right, so, and it's poisoning. It's like, it's kind of like what Oprah used to do in her very kind way, let's give away cars and, you know, talk about my gold toilet way. And talk about the new religion. I mean, she was a very dangerous person. People loved, everything was in, you know, like, it's like the picture on a magazine cover where, or, you know, I could tell you, photo shoots, you know, you take the photo and you airbrush it. You make it just look so gorgeous, it really doesn't resemble the reality. And that's what the fun, beautiful, entertaining, engaging way that women especially present these programs and the way they dress and everything's all, you know, it seems something that it is not. It is packaged. It's not real. And so the ugliness of what's really taking place is hidden from you because of the way the camera angles are and the lights. and the laughter, it's all disguise, but it's actually very, very dangerous. But let me make my case with this. They started out with a clip from Adam Schiff, and then you'll hear the comments of Whoopi Goldberg and her partner, whose name escapes me. I start to say Bette Midler, but I know, you know what I mean. Joy Behar. It follows it, so let's just listen.
And the missile attacks that Iran took as a result of that strike could have killed dozens of our service members. And thank God that didn't happen. But the risk, I think, to our personnel has gone up, not down. And I don't think it was justified by the intelligence, at least not the intelligence that I've seen.
Okay, right.
And that Ukrainian plane would still be alive.
That's the folks people on the plane. People on that plane would still be alive today.
All right, so the people on that plane, that Ukrainian plane that Iran shot down, United States wasn't anywhere near, was not shooting down anybody that night, not doing military firepower. But all those Ukrainians that were shot down by Iran would be alive today if it hadn't been for President Trump. So just to be clear, and that's what, you know, that's what The View says. So many people think that's what the truth is, but it isn't. And we're... All right, so meanwhile, another story that you might not have heard, you would if you listened to Fox, but it is the fact that the president has been routinely now tweeting to the Iranian people. And I will give you, let's see if I can find, you know what? This particular news clip that I have in my hand doesn't have it in English. It just has it in Farsi. But he has been tweeting encouragement for them. I wish I could find I'll find it in a little bit. He's tweeting them to encourage them. Tell them that their courage is a boost to the world, is an encouragement to all of us, and that we are with them and supporting them. By contrast to Barack Obama, who watched those protests in the street. This was during the so-called Arab Spring. Now, Iranians are not Arab, but they come to the broad category because they're Muslim. So the link is through the religion, not through their birth, because they're Persian. Okay, so that's way too much information. But during the Arab Spring, the Sunni and Shia were a part of the world, were undergoing all these revolutions. And we, Barack Obama and his administration, undertook to help take down all of the leaders of those countries, including our ally, Hosni Mubarak. They took him down all right. They took him down in a horrendous way, and Egypt went into chaos, and the Muslim Brotherhood took over. That's just one example of what Barack Obama did. He thought that was great. But the one place he didn't intercede, he interceded in Libya, he interceded all over the place, and there was great turmoil, and they called it spring, you know? Like the morning and the evening were the first day, and they called it, no, I mean, this is a lie. It was nothing like a spring. It was a bloodbath. It was a nightmare, for instance, in Egypt. It was a nightmare in Libya. But in Iran, the people actually were out there on the streets against the mullahs trying to be free. It really was a democracy movement, and there were thousands and thousands of them, and they were desperate for help. But Barack Obama was silent. He was silent. He let them be slaughtered, imprisoned. He didn't care about that particular Arab Spring because it wasn't the outcome he wanted. He was on the side of the leadership. So President Trump, by contrast, is tweeting to the Iranian people. And but guess what? Nobody's reporting this. The smaller outlets are Heavy.com, Washington Examiner, The Blaze, CNN did one little trailer across the screen. I heard it described as a snarky CNN headline, but not the New York Times, not the Washington Post, not the Los Angeles Times. None of them are repeating what the president is saying in these tweets of encouragement to the Iranian people. And that's how the media controls what you know. They just don't tell you what they don't think you should know. They're the big brothers for us, and they're dangerous. So very dangerous. All right. Interestingly, Boris Johnson, who is, you know, reelected with great numbers and great support, has said publicly now that he welcomes replacing the Iran nuclear deal with the Trump deal. And he said this deal needs to prevent them from developing nuclear weapons and whatever the president has in mind. President Trump, that's what he's going to support. This is a great article, and I was going to go into it at greater detail, and I hear the music. It's actually, I think I'm going to come back with it because it's so important. It's a great article that kind of puts perspective on all that's happening. The impeachment process, Nancy Pelosi is supposed to send over those two articles this week. We're waiting for it at any moment. Mitch McConnell is kind of preening a little bit about how she wasn't able to manage the process in the Senate. I'm happy about that, not unhappy. But it's a little bit of political gamesmanship, and I don't think the president is safe in the Senate still. I just don't. All right, I'll be back right after this. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. The verses from Colossians I just quoted are immediately followed by, "See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ." The delusion and deception of humanistic philosophy require its prey to become bitter, entitled, and unthankful. To remain impervious to deception, we must abound in thanksgiving to God. Thanksgiving empowers us to reject the captivity of today's grievance culture.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
Congratulations! Chick-fil-A has responded favorably to a letter from AFA and more than 116,000 supporters who signed our petition. Company CEO Dan Cathy says Chick-fil-A inadvertently discredited several outstanding organizations when they changed their charitable giving last November. The restaurant stopped giving to some Christian organizations in favor of groups with a more worldly viewpoint. While their response is encouraging, we hope Chick-fil-A does not stray any further from their godly values.
AFA Excellence.
One
news station. American Family Radio.
Announcing AFA.net/connect.
One news now.
It's the one click that will link you to so many AFA platforms. Pick and choose which updates you want to receive. Easily subscribe or unsubscribe.
American Family Studio.
And to quote our privacy policy, American Family Association will not sell, rent, or lease your personal information to outside organizations.
AFA Journal.
Make a better connection with AFA at afa.net/connect.
Brian Fisher here with today's Life and Liberty Minute. Eco-fascists believe man's presence should be removed from the environment. As Gaia worshippers, they believe any human impact on the environment is blasphemy. But the Bible says man is God's vice regent over all creation and responsible to steward its resources. In Genesis, God says, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over every living thing." In Australia, when an electric company without permission cleared a 200-foot-wide fire break to protect high-voltage lines, the utility was fined $1 million. But when a fire swept through the region, that fire break was the only safe haven for kangaroos, wallabies, and three forest workers. Australia is aflame because man has not been allowed to exercise his stewardship. As always, the Bible is not the problem, it is the solution.
Catch Brian Fisher on Focal Point, weekday afternoons at 105 Central on American Family Radio.
This is Frank Gaffney with the Secure Freedom Minute. Yesterday, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo announced that the United States has embarked upon a vital mission vis-a-vis Iran and other actual and prospective enemies. We are in the business of restoring deterrence. By eliminating the world's top terrorist, Iranian General Qasem Soleimani, the Trump administration has not only removed from the battlefield one of our most dangerous adversaries, it has changed the calculus upon which the mullahs have attacked our forces, diplomatic personnel, and others with impunity. While the president's critics generally fail to appreciate this benefit from Soleimani's liquidation, it seems the people of Iran have gotten the message. They've courageously returned to the streets to support his killing and denounce their regime. As they are the best hope for an enduring peace with Iran, we must continue supporting them through restoring deterrence and otherwise. This is Frank Gaffney.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
That we're seeing now demonstrations in the streets of Iran against the regime. Do you support those protesters, and would it be a good thing
if they brought the regime down?
Well, the protesters are protesting, as I understand, this brand of protesters about the fact that that plane went down. And many students were on that plane, and these are largely students in the street. I think the Iranians should have not had commercial flights going off when there
was...
They're
calling out the regime for lying. They're saying debt to Khamenei as well.
No, well, whatever it is. But the fact is this. There were protesters in the streets before against the regime. After the taking out of Soleimani, there were protesters in the street joined together, as you know, against us. That wasn't good. Taking down this plane is a terrible, terrible tragedy. And they should be held accountable for letting commercial flights go at a time that was so, so dangerous. But there are different reasons why people are in the street. Of course, we would love to see the aspirations of the people of Iran realized with a better situation there. But escalating the situation, unless we've exhausted every other remedy.
Which we haven't?
Well, we don't know that. And if the first first action to be taken on the threat of... there are a lot of bad actors who are doing bad things and threatening bad things to us. We know that, Iran being one of them, and it being its proxies doing bad things to our interest throughout the world. But how do we deal with that in a way that calms rather than escalates?
I have to say, I will give it to her. Nancy Pelosi is really good. Man, she is good. She is slick, slick, slick. So there, she's saying... No, she's trying to persuade you, bottom line, that the protesters are not out there not stepping on American flags. No, those protesters are just students, and they're protesting the fact that the plane was shot down. Now, that is true, but she doesn't want you to believe that they're actually protesting against the regime, against the mullahs. They're mostly students out there. She's got it all figured out, and she wants to kind of tap it down. She also says it was a terrible tragedy that Iran shot down the Ukrainian airliner. Yes, that's true, but she goes on to say they should not have let a commercial flight go during a time of conflict. So that's their crime. They just simply let a commercial airline fly during a time of conflict, which, of course, was President Donald Trump's fault. The Iranians targeted this plane with their rockets. It has to be said, I think Tony Schaefer said this with me yesterday on the air, it demonstrates how really and truly bloodthirsty the Iranian leadership is. And further, what would happen, do you think, if they had nuclear weapons? But Nancy's not worried about that. She is worried about, Iran is just one of the nations, and they have terror proxies that are coming after us and, you know, doing bad things. But they are the number one state sponsor of terror, and they have been for decades. So I want to read this now, this bit of a commentary by Andy Puzder. Andy was the CEO of Carl's Jr. Restaurants. He's the guy that President Trump nominated to be in his cabinet, and there was a real reaction against him. I can't recall the reason that President Trump withdrew it, but part of it was they had played some suggestive commercials in California. So I'm just telling that's who Andy is, but as far as I know, he's certainly conservative economically, and I think in other ways too. You know, he's just a guy. I'm just giving you the true picture of who he is. And this is what he writes. Over the last 6 months, it has become increasingly obvious there is no limit on how far Democrats and their media allies are willing to go to bring down President Trump. Because of their obsessive hatred of the president, they have wantonly placed our economy at risk of collapse, created a false constitutional crisis, and most recently opposed the takedown of an Iranian terrorist leader. In August, it was the economy. We were told repeatedly that a recession was imminent. The Washington Post ran an article titled "Stocks Losses Deepen as a Key Recession Warning Surfaces," discussing how recession signals had, quote, intensified. CNN ran an article stating, quote, "Two recession warning signs are here," end quote. Senator Elizabeth Warren from Massachusetts published an article entitled, quote, "The Coming Economic Crash and How to Stop It." All right. So then he goes down to say, could this overblown recession coverage have been an effort to cast a pall over the economy's underlying strength, reducing consumer confidence and tanking the economy so as to topple Trump in 2020? Of course it was. And at least one anti-Trump leftist was honest about it. And then he goes on to talk about how Bill Maher said on his show, and this has been several months ago, when asked if he really wanted recession, Bill responded, I do. Why? Why? Well, because one way you get rid of Trump is to crash the economy. So by December, though, the economy was going really well. The Washington Post read an article almost apologetically titled, U.S. Economy Shakes Free of Recession Fears in Striking Turnaround Since August. And Andy goes on to write, the truth is that there never was a meaningful recession threat. It was just a bunch of Democrats and their media allies trying to create one. Then he says, by September, it was the impeachment emergency. Democrats claimed that the risk of Trump remaining in office was so great that they could not take the time to get testimony from key administration witnesses before voting for impeachment. Adam Schiff stated that impeachment was an urgent matter, and Jerry Nadler called it a matter of urgency. Notice the emphasis on urgency. So the House rushed to vote to impeach. The reality, the truth is that the impeachment proceedings against President Trump are and always were a farce. Moving down, he says, Democrats have now seized on Trump's decision to take out Iran's General Qasem Soleimani, a dangerous terrorist responsible for more than 600 American deaths, among other atrocities, who was planning attacks on four U.S. embassies. This killing should have garnered bipartisan support, much like Obama's taking out of Osama bin Laden. It didn't. Democrats and their media allies simply hate Trump more than they hate anti-American terrorists. He's a bigger threat to their socialist agenda. He goes on to mention what other people say. Biden, we'll just pick out him. Vice President Biden said that Trump has tossed a stick of dynamite into a tinderbox. Andy says, of course, none of that was true. Iran did not begin World War III. Instead, they stood down. The next morning, Trump acknowledged what we all knew. Faced with the power of the United States military, Iran was wisely standing down. Rather than throwing dynamite into a tinderbox, Trump utilized American military power to pour water on an inflammatory situation where an avowed enemy believed it could target our citizens, our allies, and our embassies with impunity. Trump stood up to the regional bully, and the bully backed down. That is absolutely accurate in every way. It's not just a guess or speculation that Iran has killed our people, our men mostly and some women, and maimed them for life, and then been in the business of injuring and coming after our people. Look at the sailors. Remember that they took in the Straits of Hormuz and humiliated them, 10 of them, kept them, I don't know, for 24 hours, I don't recall, made them sign papers, sort of, you know, humiliating themselves and before the world, really. That should never have been allowed. Never, never, never. And, of course, it's the taking of hostages, the imprisoning of Americans. They have been thumbing their nose at us for decades, which takes us back to that clip I played about from Donald Trump in 1980 in his interview with Rona Barrett, where the 1979 hostage crisis had just concluded because Reagan was voted into office. And while he was being sworn in, the Iranians, you know, surrendered the hostages because they were afraid of Ronald Reagan. They weren't afraid of Jimmy Carter. But let me go back to the ending that Andy Posner has in his article here. The Democrats' response, in other words, to the taking out of Soleimani, was to pass a non-binding, meaningless war powers resolution, which Pelosi said was intended to limit the president's military actions regarding Iran. In other words, the Democrats don't want our president to take out terrorists like Soleimani until he gets permission from Congress. No doubt this resolution was lauded in Tehran, where the mullahs would like nothing better than having this do-nothing Congress restrain the first president to stand up to them since Ronald Reagan. As we head into 2020, the American people will have a choice. They can re-elect a president with a record of undeniable success who puts their interests over politics, the media's whims, and personal gain, or they can elect the candidate of a political party willing to tank the economy, trash the Constitution, and empower bullies all in the name of seizing political power. It's a choice that is becoming all too clear. I just think it was such a good article. We'll put that on our Facebook page, the one by Andy Pusder in Fox News that came out just this morning. Excellent article. And it reminds me, you know, of when we started the show today, I played for you the cheers of the crowd at the Superdome yesterday for the national championship when President Trump was introduced and Melania. It was went on, and then they started chanting USA. That's one part of the country. And then I played for you the clips from the various comedians and on The View making fun and laughing at the president and everyone joining in and laughing, where they're telling you that he had no right to take down Soleimani, that it's this Trump, Donald Trump is a liar, he's foolish. And so the other half of America believes that, and they're cheering. We are truly a divided nation, and it is truly getting more and more dangerous. And so I want to, let me just say, in the wake of all of the FISA abuse, the FBI, all of the trials, the report by the Inspector General, Michael Horowitz, the Mueller report, all of this, there have been a lot of things happening. And I intended to go into that today, but I think the time is going to constrain me a little bit. So I'm going to try to give you some headlines. And if I have a chance to get back to this, I will as best I can. The FBI director, Christopher Wray, told the FISA surveillance court that he deeply regrets the failures in the Carter Page FISA process. He was commanded by the Inspector General to do an audit of the FBI to find out why they lied and presented false evidence, why they signed warrants to convince the FISA court that they could do a surveillance of American citizens. And Carter Page was the first. And Christopher Wray, I'll read to you, this is how Sundance puts it, because I think he says it well. FBI Director Christopher Wray responds to FISA court, more training, more promises, no mention of accountability. He said he promised anti-bias training for all agents. In response to the challenges identified by the report, that's the Inspector General's report, the FBI, quote, appreciates the opportunity to provide more support to our employees. So it goes on, more bureaucratic. We're going to have training. We're going to teach them this and teach them that. But no apology to anybody that's been abused. No apologies certainly to Lieutenant General Flynn, who's facing sentencing the end of this year. Excuse me, the end of this month. Julie Kelly has a great piece on this. In fact, we'll put this on our Facebook page. Can't remember the outlet right in this minute, but she says, Christopher Wray isn't the right man to fix the FBI. Because of misconduct, which we've talked about, the Federal Bureau of Investigation is suffering a crisis in confidence from the very people it has sworn a sworn duty to protect, the American public. Rather than working to keep the country safe, the top tier of the FBI spent most of its time massaging their press contacts, accompanying reporters to baseball games and golf outings in clear violation of company policy, and illegally leaking sensitive information, then lying about it when caught. The FBI's former chief, James Comey, stole his own classified memos from the agency and hid them at home before he was busted. Comey and his immediate underlings routinely vent their hatred of the elected president of the United States in a manner unprecedented in history. Their top-selling books and Twitter feeds are filled with safe, self-righteous hubris. Despite their culpability in torching the credibility of the agency America has been taught to trust, they instead play the victim. Polls show declining support for the FBI among Republicans, the party traditionally loyal to law enforcement. Meanwhile, Democrats now swoon over government cops, prosecutors, and spies because they are targeting Trump. And she goes on to talk about how Christopher Wray has been part of this bureaucracy, he has thwarted investigations, he's refused to turn over information, and that this is just lip service. More regulations, more rules, and she's saying, as others are, that, as I have said, President Trump needs to replace Christopher Wray. He cannot stay there. And by the way, there's one other huge story that I just have to drop in before I say goodbye to you. The FISA court has put in charge of the investigation of the FBI and the of the implementation of these new rules a guy who's a total anti-Trumper who has been part of the resistance. It's just a shocking turn of events, and hopefully tomorrow we'll get to talk about it a little bit more. All right, so there you go. It's a battle, isn't it? But we are not going to give up. This is Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.